Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
When you turn a prospect into a customer, are you delivering and getting the most value you can? A lot of people have lame, generic welcome sequences because they know they have something to say, but they don't really know how to say it or what to say. Our special guest today aims to change all that. She's Evelina Kovanovich, and she has gotten big numbers that should make you sit up and pay attention. 64% average open rate on a win-back email campaign for a marketing agency, 7.6% increase in article views over 90 days for a personal brand, a 20 to 30% average open rate on weekly marketing emails, a 5% CTR on ads for local soccer academy business. How does she do it? Well, she's formally trained as a fashion designer and has had experience as a freelance writer for magazines and digital publications. But when COVID struck, she found herself in Melbourne, Australia, stuck in a house under what she says was the worst lockdown protocol in the world. So to make the best of a bad situation, she dove into the world of digital marketing, and her marketing career really started to blossom. Evelina likes sharing how she merges creativity with strategy and why she believes email is the ultimate business insurance for any company or freelancer. Today, she's going to tell us about her profitable approach to welcome sequences. But first, I'm going to tell you that copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear in this podcast. And most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and or if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So Evelina, welcome, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to speak with you today, David.
Yeah, you're coming to us all the way from Melbourne, Australia, and it's just starting to become summer here in the States, and it's winter where you're living, right?
That's it. The heaters are on. It's freezing. You can see I'm in a jumper today.
Okay, well, let's jump into the whole question of welcome email sequences. You've had a lot of success with them for new subscribers that lead to sales. Could you walk us through one that you've built?
Yes, so I can share a really great example that I think would be relevant to the audience, which was for a marketing agency that sell online and digital products, as well as offering client services under their own name. And it's a brand that's led by a husband-wife team. They're very open, very transparent about themselves, and the thing that makes their audience connect with them is their personal story. They're very relatable. And the welcome sequence they built, they had one already in place from years ago, but it wasn't relevant to their business or their lifestyle right now. So what I did was restructure it and rebuild it and use a different strategy, made it more personal, made it more relatable. There was updates in their life. Also changed the formatting to be more plain text, because when we see plain text, it actually feels less marketing and less salesy, especially coming from a marketing agency, and trying to build that connection from the moment that somebody jumps onto that list, because that's really crucial. It's a make or break, that first sequence, and then slowly stepping into and saying, this is what we offer. If you know you feel we can help you, then here are the resources and here is where to go.
Did they talk to you? I would imagine they got a very good response from this. Did they talk to you about any reactions, any feedback, any engagement from people because of the more personal touches that you put in?
Yeah, so there's usually a few replies for people that really connect with the story, because I like to put questions in there and encourage replies. And that's also a good idea to do when it's a new list, to warm it up, to get it being more friendly. And the open rates always on the welcome sequences are quite high because typically someone's opted in for something to download, say a guide, or they took a quiz, or they want a checklist. So they're going to open that email to receive that, to download it. And that's a really big opportunity to warm up your audience and talk to them.
Yeah. You know, I've never thought of the particular strategy of having questions in an email to encourage people. You hear about that all the time in social media. But in a welcome sequence, it seems like it's even more important because you're trying to start to build a relationship with the reader, the subscriber, right?
Exactly right. And it's good from two points of view. It's good for your relationship with your potential customer community, but it's also fantastic for your email deliverability score, which is basically a score that the email provider gives you and saying, okay, this is a good sender, we're going to put them in the inbox, or this is not such a good sender, we're going to put them in spam. So the more replies you get, the more, you know, valid and great your list looks. So that's, I'm coming at it from two angles to try and hit both sides. And I've even seen with my own email list, I'm not very personal online on social media. There's certain things I don't disclose, but on my email list, I do open up a little bit more. And I've seen really fantastic replies with subscribers sharing their own stories, which has been really wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what we humans do. You know, I mean, we're very, what would the word be, armored, you know, on social media, because it can turn into such a food fight or a cesspool so quickly. But in an email list, there's more of a feeling of being protected. And anyway, that's very cool. So besides this whole personal and engagement thing, what would you say are three important rules that you have learned or that you follow now when you put together a sequence like this?
Yeah. So firstly, I like to lead with value because I don't think anyone likes being directly sold to on the internet. At the end of the day, they typically will buy from you if they feel you can solve their problem and they feel a personal connection to you. So I do try and come at it from a really personal angle, and I think that's where those high open rates and replies come in. Another thing I see a lot of the time that I encourage my clients not to do is put too much into each email. Just say one email has one goal, one story. So if you have lots of things to say, just break it up into different ones. In terms of email sequences, you also have to think about where your customer's at. So at the beginning, they don't know so much about you. So it's about opening up and sharing and building that trust, bringing in some authority to show like, hey, I've done this for other people, or this is what my clients say, or this is, you know, testimonials from our customers. And then, you know, pitching them what you want to sell them, because at the end of the day, you know, that is what we're doing. And yeah, one key thing that I like to do is making sure every email is a story, because I think that's what people connect to. And when we look at history, caveman times, there were stories written into the caves of the walls, and not much has changed then since how humans connect, but the medium of course has evolved a lot.
Yeah, little children still write on the walls of their house, so probably not with as much permission. Nathan, what are you thinking?
I just wanted to add, I love the idea of having just one story or one point to the email, keeping it short. And you mentioned you have to remember where people are at. You also have to remember where they're at physically. A lot of times people are opening their email while they're waiting for their food to be delivered, or while they're in line at the bank, or while they have a spare 3 minutes. And if we hit them with a 8.5 minute long story, they're probably not going to get to the call to action.
Yeah. You know, I was also thinking about that in terms of some of my clients. A lot of creative people have minds that just go in all these different directions, and that's fine, you know, and that's how they create. But when you're communicating with someone, you really have to take that and trim it down to a message that they can receive. And I think that's what you're saying, isn't it, Evelina?
100%. And as a creative person myself, I've had to teach myself that, because I totally get it. You start thinking about one thing, your mind goes somewhere else, and you're like, I'll pull this in, I'll pull this in. But you just have to be really clear. And I write it down before I start writing, like, what is the one message of this email? If another idea comes, great, write it down, but save it for later. And again, like Nason mentioned, that call to action, making it really clear to you and visually thinking about how does your email look? So giving it space to breathe, don't write big chunks, spread that out. It's as much visual as it is verbal.
So besides writing too much or covering too many topics in a single email, what are the worst mistakes you see in welcome sequences, things that don't work?
Ones that I personally really don't like is when you sign up to an email list and you start getting an email like once a day, sometimes even more often, and then, you know, you open your inbox and it's just from that one person you subscribe to. I think it needs to be done in a considerate way to your audience and broken up. Another thing is starting by selling without building a connection, trying to push whatever product or service you're selling straight away, because research shows us that even now more than ever, people, consumers need more and more touch points from you to build that trust to buy, because there's so many scams and dodgy things online that they're going to check you for a little while. So building that trust and those stories coming again is really important. Another thing is, and it touches back on what we spoke about, just too much in one email. And I see that with a lot of companies that offer multiple services. They'll write an email and they'll put, this is what happened this month, this is one service, this is two, this is three, four, five, and it's just overwhelming. So those are the few biggest mistakes, as well as no clear call to action button, because you also need to drive people somewhere. The point of the email is to get a click somewhere else 90% of the time.
That sounds good. You know, I get a daily email newsletter called Superhuman AI, and it's about all the latest developments over the past 24 hours in AI. And there are lots of items in it, but they have a staff of five, and it's really well edited and really well formatted, and everything is broken. So you can just see an item, read the bold lead in or the bold subhead, say, no, I don't want to read that, and skip to the next one. It's made easy to read. They have a lot of stuff in there, but that's more of a newsletter format than an email format, even though this is delivered by email. Let's say you got, you know, you've been offering some, you know, medium to advanced advice, which I appreciate and our readers appreciate it. But there are going to be some people listening to this who've never done any welcome sequence before, right? So when you're writing a single email in a welcome sequence, what advice would you give to someone who's never done a welcome sequence before?
Yeah, that's a good question. So if we're going to start with a first email that is talking about why you started this business in the first place, everyone has a story. And I know for a lot of people, writing it down can actually be very overwhelming and difficult. So I say do a voice recording. Pretend you're sending a 2-minute voice recording to a friend or, you know, your child or your mom, and just talk about it, and then format, that can be a good starting point for you to transcribe and put that into an email and share your story, and even AI to help you structure it a little bit more is a really good starting point for somebody who has not dabbled with emails before.
Yeah, I think it's really good advice, because really the first question anyone has when they're meeting someone new, and they'll ask it in a variety of ways depending on the context, is who are you? And so if you can answer that unasked question, even though it is being asked in the mind of the reader, I think that's good. Let's talk about surprising reactions. What was the most surprising reaction you've ever gotten to an email in a welcome sequence?
Yeah, I had one woman reply when I shared a story about how I got started and, you know, a few challenges I went through myself, and just replied with opening up about her own story and what was going on in her life, which was really special to build that bond. I feel like, you know, I got to know that person on a whole deeper level. So that's really, for me, that's really special when I get to reply and hear from people who have had experiences that are similar or different, and they felt comfortable enough to open up to basically a stranger on the internet.
Yeah. So could we talk about that a little more? I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, share who you are and be vulnerable and open. Could you give some tips for that? I mean, how do you go about it if you're working with a client and you're interviewing them? What kind of things do you ask about? You know how it is when you hear something and it lights up and you go, that's it. That's really good. That's going to go in the email. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So if I'm working with a client and we're working on these stories to pop into the emails, see, that's only information they know. So they will need to share that with me in order for me to package that up into an email. So I always, of course, like I said before, I start with the origin story because that's important. I'll go into their life a bit and ask how they grew up, what, you know, journey was. Also being mindful of what their own boundaries are, what they're comfortable sharing and what they're not. Everyone has a different level of how open they're willing to be, as well as, you know, with images. And then I also ask my clients on a regular basis when we check in, I say, when something happens in your life, it could be something boring, but 2-3 times a week, just record a voice note for me that is about a particular story that happened. Say you went on a little trip with your family, just record that. How did you feel? What did you do? What takeaways did you have for yourself? And then I can help you link it to a particular service or something in your work that we can share with your list.
Yeah, that's interesting because sometimes people's lives are boring. I mean, let's get that out on the table. But a lot of times things happen that are so routine and ordinary to the person they happen to, or the thing that person does seems so routine and ordinary. But in fact, it would be very fascinating to other people. And sometimes it's hard for, you know, you need another person like you to see that for them and to say, no, actually, that would make a very good email, right?
Exactly. And it could be something as boring as you're driving to work and you're drinking your coffee and it spills all over your white shirt and you've got a really important presentation that morning. What do you do? And the takeaway could be, you know, always have a backup. Like, do you have a backup shirt in your car? Or it could be, you know, roll with the punches because life happens and it's unpredictable. But, you know, I still went in there and I got that meeting and I got the deal and, you know, it looked questionable, but I made a joke and eased the tension. So there's so many ways you can spin a, as we would say, boring situation. It's all about putting a good spin on it and having an important takeaway. Or it could be something exotic, like I went on a safari and Africa and I saw these animals and it just opened my eyes about the world and how I saw things. And, you know, we're stuck in our day-to-day lives, but you just see how big and wonderful the world is and, you know, then link it to something else. So I think stories are so powerful and so wonderful because you can really turn anything into something interesting. It's just about, you know, how you word it and how you structure it.
Yeah. You know, I'm guessing that is one of the things your clients like most about you, is that you're able to take what they considered boring and make it interesting in a story or in the way you treat it. And I'm thinking back to before you got into marketing, you were a freelance writer. And, you know, I also was a journalist and I've been a freelance writer. And I know that, you know, that situation, it's even worse than marketing. I mean, you can have a good offer and boring copy and it could still maybe work. But if you write a boring freelance story and it doesn't sell, you starve. Have you ever thought at all about what you learned as a freelancer writing for magazines, writing for digital publications that translates over into welcome sequences and other copy that you write?
Yeah, it's a very good point because especially within the writing world and in the recent years with, you know, those roles being cut, you have to just come up with like really great angles and really interesting storylines to hook an editor's attention for, you know, for readers to be clicking on that, or if it's in a print issue to stop and read it. So yeah, those stories are so powerful. And I think also coming in from that design angle, it's also a very creative outlet for me because I get to come up with something new and package it nicely. And I 100% agree with what you're saying. You could have an amazing offer, like top of the line. But if your marketing is mediocre, then it's not going to do much. On the other hand, you could have a mediocre product, but you package it really nicely. You talk about the benefits. You really share how amazing it is, and it's going to do much better than the other one. So it's very much about, coming up with those really powerful hooks. That's what you say.
Powerful hooks, for sure. Yeah, that's such a big part of it. So let's drill down a little bit. Maybe the most important part of an email, because it's the first step in determining whether it will get read or not. What advice would you give about subject lines and preview text? And maybe you could give us some good examples and a couple of not so good examples.
Yes. So firstly, right now, we're very much competing against AI filters. And it's just how it is. A lot of people are using AI to write emails, especially in the marketing world. And a lot of the copy is like very salesy, and people like to stay away from that. So how I like to frame it is the emails you're most likely to open and read in your inbox come from your family and friends. It's people you know. And think about how they would write and how you would write an email to them. You wouldn't say, for example, here is this one dishwashing liquid that I really love. You would say, this is great, or you need this, or, you know, something shorter, a bit more snappier. It's got less emojis. It's not as long. Another little tip is I like to use lowercase letters. As you think about it, you're in a rush, you're writing an email, you don't have much time to send it. You probably don't have time to capitalize an email if you're sending it to your brother. So think about how your audience would react when they see something also that stands out in their inbox compared to everything else they see. That's what will get the clicks. And again, it's very important, because whatever is inside your email doesn't matter if someone doesn't open it in the first place. So I would, look at using language that your audience uses, doing a bit of research, what kind of words do they use. You can check comments on Instagram or Facebook and putting that in there. Also creating some curiosity, not giving everything away in the headline, because then it doesn't make sense for them to open it, but leaving it a little bit open-ended. They're like, oh, I'm intrigued. Let me click on this. Even something as, how I got a 38% open rate. And then, that's enough of a hook for somebody to go in and be like, oh, I would like this information.
Have you ever written an email that you honestly had doubts about that way overperformed?
There was one that had a 70% open rate, and I was a little bit shocked. I wanted to make I wanted to make sure it wasn't, a mistake, because that is quite high. Yeah. And it was, for a re-engagement series for a client. So they had a really big list of about 20,000. They weren't so active on the emails, and we started cleaning it out and seeing who is engaged and who's worth keeping and who should get rid of. And as we were building that opt-in series to re-engage them, was quite nurturing. It was very, very value driven. We were giving away a lot of free resources like checklists and tools and webinars that they could use to better themselves and improve their own content. And one particular one, it got an extremely high open rate, which was really wonderful to see.
Do you remember what the subject line was and what the content was?
Gosh, the exact subject line, I will have to check for you. But I believe it was along the lines of improving or, bettering. It was to do with LinkedIn content. So it was giving away a bit of a blueprint of, this is a step-by-step of, how you should set up your profile, a checklist. And that was like very valuable and helpful for the audience, because that's what the company is known for. And yeah, I think the way the subject line was phrased had just enough curiosity to intrigue someone. And then obviously the click rate was quite high as well, because people were interested in that offer as well. It was coherent to what was in the email.
Yeah. And it sounds like it wasn't the first email, right? in the welcome ceremony.
No, it was, I think, 3 or 4 in the sequence.
And even before people opened the first one, they knew that this agency was an expert on LinkedIn engagement and LinkedIn statistics. So there was a certain amount of authority and proof embedded in that, right?
Exactly. This company is known for being an authority in LinkedIn marketing and in this space. So seeing those names come up, they knew, okay, this is from X person and they have something good to say. So that's also why it's really important to have, like, you'd rather have a smaller list that's better engaged than a big list that doesn't act or do anything, because those open rates, like, that's wonderful to see. Also, as a business owner, it's really validating to see that, you know, you've spent this time working on something and 3 out of 4 people have opened it and are reading at what you're doing compared to, you know, like 1 out of 10.
Now, it's funny you say that about smaller lists, because Nathan and Lily Elizabeth just did a video on LinkedIn about how it's better. I loved that video too, about how it's better, how viral content is not nearly as great as targeted content that goes to a smaller group of people who are truly interested in what you have to say.
Exactly. You would much rather have 100 really engaged, loyal subscribers than 1,000 that don't really care and were just there for the freebie at the beginning.
Yeah. So, all right, let's talk about resources. Can you recommend, and feel free to plug your own, and we can also talk about that separately if you don't have this particular kind of resource, but can you recommend any resources for people who want to learn more about putting together effective welcome sequences?
Yes. So if you're just getting started, I can recommend Alex Cotone on YouTube. I think she has really wonderful videos for beginners.
Could you say her name a little more slowly? Alex
Cotone, so C-A-T-T-O-N-I.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah.
And I really like her approach because it's very natural, very honest and authentic. And I've done a lot of her trainings myself. So I really resonate with how she does her marketing. And from my own perspective, I have a couple of resources that some might find helpful. One is a swipe file of subject lines, headlines for emails, because as we were just saying, that's so important to get people to check your emails in the first place. And the second is, if you are thinking of outsourcing this, how to look for a copywriter, what type of things you should be aware of, what are green flags, what are red flags.
That sounds good. And do you want to tell us a little more about your business? I mean, it sounds like you do emails, but I bet you do a lot more than that.
I do. Emails are my favorite, just as a disclosure. I really like them. But I help clients with their copywriting and marketing strategy, especially when it comes to selling service-based businesses. And a lot of the time, the deliverables are landing pages, sales pages, ads, emails. A lot of the time, they work together. So I like to work with my clients one-on-one to see where are you in your business, where do you want to go, where are the holes, and we map out a marketing funnel strategy to fill those holes, and then I will support them with the copywriting as well to bring out the best in their business and get them the best results.
That sounds good.
I'm going to add in real quick. You mentioned AI for a second during this, and I have my personal experiences. AI works great for post welcome sequence emails. You can really knock emails out. But that first sequence, when people are first coming into your world and it needs to be personal and you need to really get into who you are and why you're doing the thing that you're doing and form that connection, AI is not good at that. And having an actual copywriter there to help you through that, to interview you, to pull out those stories, to form that connection is not only the most important because it's the first impression, but it's the most difficult to try and nail down with an AI tool. So of all of the things that are really important and can't replace a human copywriter right now, the welcome sequence is, in my opinion, the most important one. So all of the stuff that we went through today is, a lot of times we're thinking, will this matter a month from now with how fast AI is growing? This is the stuff that will still matter a month from now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we could coin a phrase, flesh and blood is better than ones and zeros, you know, especially when you're trying to, I mean, ones and zeros can simulate a resonant frequency, but people will see through it. They won't feel it.
Yep. Okay. You mentioned a couple of resources that you had, and you said something about a swipe file for subject lines and red flags and green flags for working with a copywriter. I'm assuming they'll be at your website, but we did not plug your website yet. Can you let people know where they can find you?
Yes. Yeah, so you can find me, either connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm most active there. So at Evelina Kagan there. And on my website, it's www.evelinacreativewithak.com. And I will share all the resources with you as well.
Perfect. And we will make sure to have links for your social and your website in the show notes so that people can find them there. The show notes are over at copywriterspodcast.com. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. And thanks, Evelina.
Thank you for having me.
Are you getting tired of using the hero's journey in your sales copy over and over again? My book, The Persuasion Story Code, will help you put together stories that convince your prospects and resolve their objections. If you are a copywriter, you'll appreciate that every single one of the 25 kinds of stories in this book have been proven time and time again in profitable sales copy. But I've also used these kinds of stories to close 5- and 6-figure deals for my own business, and so have many of my clients. These stories are easy to create and easy to tell. They sound like ordinary conversation, but they are all designed and proven to lead to a yes. You can get the Persuasion Story Code on Amazon.com. So get your copy today.